So I'm going to call to order this meeting of the Maine and New Hampshire Port Safety Forum. As you all know, this is a platform for the exchange of information amongst the Northern New England sector. And this association is co-chaired by the Maine Port Authority and U.S. Coast Guard Northern New England.
Let me just turn to cruise operations. And I'm sure, you know, Sarah can probably tell you a lot more about what's happening with regard to cruise operations. There's a tremendous amount of work being done between CLIA and CDC in order to restart cruise operations. And, you know, based on everything that I've seen and people I've talked to, my sense is that within the next couple of months, if they haven't already started down south, you'll probably see some cruise operations operating under the concept of simulated voyages, which is sort of the first. Well, that's actually, I think, part of phase two of the process. But, you know, just like, you know, you would think of how is a business regulated under the circumstances of the pandemic, cruise operators are facing the same sort of, I'll say, gauntlet of requirements. And it's everything, and I'll just kind of give you a quick overview. I won't go into all the details of it, but it'll give you a sense of how rigorous I think the standards are. So ships that are re-entering the U.S. have to get a conditional sailing certificate, which will be approved by the CDC. They have to have each company has to have an approved COVID-specific response plan. And I think you can see these on the CDC website, but many of them already have approved plans. I went through it yesterday. Royal Caribbean has a number of approved plans, Norwegian Cruise Lines, Carnival. I don't think we get Carnival up here, but I'm pretty sure we get Royal and Norwegian, and they've got a bunch of approved plans already. So, you know, they're going to be actively, part of their requirement is to actively test crew members on a weekly basis. So they have to have an agreement with the lab facility, and they have to have the capability of drawing those tests on their crews weekly. They have to give greater than 28 days notice before they even enter U.S. waters, and they can't have any COVID positive cases for 28 days prior to taking any passengers. They're limited on what they can do in terms of ship-to-ship transfers. They can't transfer any COVID positive patients. And if they're taking on new crew members from a land-to-ship transfer, those crew members have to be quarantined for 14 days. And so that's just phase one of the process. Before they can start phase two, which is the simulated voyages, which is basically just my understanding of it anyway, is, you know, voyages to be able to demonstrate that they are COVID compliant and COVID and that they have adequate safety protocols. But I think the key part of phase two, and, you know, Sarah can probably weigh in on this better than I can. My read on it is the critical piece is that you have to have an agreement with port and local health authorities. And, you know, that includes everything from a medical care agreement, evacuation plans, landside housing, and also it has to take into consideration hospital capacity limits. I see that as sort of the long pole in the tent for cruise operations. You know, I know what they've gone through up in Eastport, you know, just to try to bring in a ship that is in layup status. And, you know, I think that I think it's going to be a tall order to meet all of those requirements. That's just, you know, it's my personal perspective on it. That's the lay of the land on the COVID front, and in particular with regard to cruise operations. Let me shift gears and talk about a couple of safety items.